10 years ago, I was touring the great Catedral de Sevilla in Spain when I got into an unexpectedly informative conversation about Texas with an 80-year-old guide of that majestic church. When he discovered that I was from South Texas, he asked me in perfect British English, "Did you know that your river there in Texas is named for our river, the Guadalquivir?" I said I didn't understand how that could be. How do you get Rio Grande from Guadalquivir? He said, "Guadalquivir is a Spanish distortion of the Arabic, meaning the brave river or the great river. So when the original cowboys of Andalusia from southern Spain settled northern Mexico, they thought the river looked like the Guadalquivir, so they called it the Rio Bravo." Well, that was one more origin story to add to many others that claim to tell how the Rio Grande River, or the Rio Bravo, as it is known on the Mexican side, got its name. Well, I can't speak for or against the veracity of the guide's story, but as a story, it's interesting, which is the first rule of stories. Some say Álvarez de Pineda first named the Rio Grande El Rio de las Palmas in 1519. But others say he was really at the mouth of the Pánuco River near Tampico, much farther south in Mexico. Not the Rio Grande. But we have to consider the Pineda stone as evidence, which was found deep in the sand near the mouth of the Rio Grande in 1974, with Pineda's name etched on it, along with the number of men and ships he had with him. Many believe it's fake, but just as many feel it's real. We do know that the explorer Juan de Oñate called the river El Rio Grande in writing in 1598. Strangely, Cabeza de Vaca crossed it 70 years earlier on his wild trek across Texas and Mexico, but never mentioned the river at all. The river has been called Rio Grande del Norte and Rio Bravo del Norte. Today, we know for sure that it is called the Rio Grande River or the Rio Grande River on the Texas side and the Rio Bravo on the Mexican side. At one time, it was certainly brave and grand, with steamboats piloted by Texas legends like Richard King and his business partner Mifflin Kennedy, who traveled 130 miles inland all the way to Rio Grande City. And in a rare case, a steamboat went all the way to Laredo. Though the river, once half a mile wide at some points, certainly earned its name, now we might call it El Arroyo Valiente, or Courageous Creek, because along its 2,000-mile journey from Colorado to the Gulf, it's often no bigger than a creek. So many cities and towns along its banks pull water from it that it is a mere trickle of its former self. No wonder Will Rogers once said that the Rio Grande is the only river he ever saw that needed to be irrigated. And down toward the mouth, the river is incredibly crooked, like an enormous water moccasin sunning itself in lazy loops and curls. General Zachary Taylor said his soldiers believed it was so crooked there seemed to be only one shore. I can attest to this myself. I once rode my motorcycle along the northern trails that follow the curves of the river and found myself looking north across the water. Even though I was not on the Mexican side, my eyes told me otherwise. It's terribly disorienting. Riverboat pilots said it was 100 horse miles from Brownsville to Rio Grande City, but 175 river miles. The river is to Texas and northern Mexico what the Nile is to Egypt. It is, quite simply, life itself, and always has been. There are still quiet, isolated spots along the river where enormous canyon walls rise toward the heavens 2,000 feet overhead, where exotic parrots fly in screeching flocks through wild palm orchards, places you can sit and channel the words author John Graves wrote about a different Texas river. If you are lucky and reverent, and hush for a moment the doubts in your head, sometimes God will whisper in your ear. I'm W.F. Strong. These are stories from Texas. Some of them are true.